Imam al-Ghazali, I think, said the best thing. He said, know men by the truth, but don't know the truth by men. Which is a difficult thing because you need people to learn. We have teachers and we have people that we have to learn from. So the beginning of learning is belief. We were just looking at something yesterday in a class that we were doing at the school about that, a student has to accept their ignorance before they can remove that ignorance. There's something that called compounded ignorance. There's a famous story. Bruce Lee used to tell this story, but it's a story that comes out of samurai tradition, actually, about a man who went to study with a master, and they're doing the tea, and he's telling him he learned this from so-and-so, and he learned this from so-and-so, and he learned that. And so the master just keeps pouring the tea until it overflows. And then the student says, why are you pouring? The cup's full. And he said, what, it can't take anymore? And he said, yeah. And he said, well, it seems that you're full also, so I don't know what I can teach you. Because you have to go to a teacher with a type of humility. And if you don't have that, you can't learn. سَأَصْرِفُ عَنْ آيَاتِيَ الَّذِينَ يَتَكَبَّرُونَ فِي الْأَرْضِ بِغَيْرَ الْحَقِّ. You know, I will remove my signs from people that have arrogance in the earth without any just right. And so humility is very important, of just maintaining a type of humility. Intellectual humility is important, spiritual humility. I mean, there's, the story about the imam, he's in the mihrab and he kind of has an epiphany, falls down and starts saying, I'm nothing, I'm nothing. Then the muezzin comes in, he says, the imam's nothing, what am I? He falls down, he says nothing. Then the guy who comes in, who sweeps the mosque out, he sees the imam and the muezzin. He's saying, they know the whole Quran by heart, I'm just ignorant. What am I? He falls down, he's saying, I'm nothing, I'm nothing. Then the imam says to the muezzin, look who thinks he's nothing. Right? So that's spiritual pride, which is a real problem, right? Okay, that's a Jewish joke that I just switched to imam. It's originally the rabbi and the cantor. But that's the nice thing about religious jokes. You can just change the names and they fit. So that's very important, is just humility. And also taqlid is a negative thing in our tradition, but it's a necessary thing for somebody who's ignorant, is just to have humility and recognize that they need to learn. And we should all try to learn. I think the most important things about this tradition is a lot of the basic principles they're very simple and universal. Like, for instance, if the Muslims just took one verse of Quran and applied it, that we'd change the world. وَقُلُوا لِلنَّاسِ حُسْنًا. Speak beautifully to people. Like, all, if you just applied that one verse, or اِدْفَعْ بِالَّتِي هِيَ أَحْسَنَ. You know, return a wrong with a right. You just apply, these are not hard things to understand. They're hard to implement. You know, but they're not, أَسْتَعِينُ بِالصَّبْرِ وَالصَّلَاةِ. You know, seek help from God with patience and prayer. There's so many principles in the Quran like that. So I think it's important to recognize that this religion is multi-layered. At the highest level, you're dealing with some of the most sophisticated thought in human history. Our theology is very deep. It's very complex. It has profound metaphysical foundations. And then at the same time, it can be understood by very simple people. And I'll give you one example of that. I was in Morocco and I was at a gas station. Somebody was filling gas. And I had a turban and a jalaba on. So this man thought that I was learned or something. So he came up to me. He was a gas station attendant. And he was a young man. He said, I'm studying at the university. I do this for... But he said, I have a philosophy teacher. And he's really confused me. I said, what did he say? He said that, everybody says, God created this, God created that. But it begs the question, who created God? And so I told him a hadith in Sahih Muslim that the Prophet ﷺ said, لَا يَزَالُ النَّاسِ يَتَسَأَلُونَ. People will continue to philosophize. That's what philosophy is, asking questions. And they'll say, who created this? And the answer is Allah. And who created this? And the answer is Allah. Until somebody will say, who created Allah? And he said, if you hear that, say, I believe in Allah. And so I told him that hadith. I saw the inshirah in his heart. I saw it on his face. His whole face changed. And he said, Jazakallah khairan, farajta anni. You know, and he just said, Amen to Billah. You know, and that's the beauty of guidance. Like the Prophet's like, it's a very simple statement. But what the Prophet was essentially saying was, you can't think beyond the unthinkable. You know, there's a famous mathematician called George Cantor. He has Cantor's theorem, which says that the whole can be greater than the part. Right? Well, Cantor believed that you could have an actual infinity, which Aristotle said you couldn't. And most mathematicians say you can't. So Cantor said if you have an actual infinity, the even numbers could be equal to the odd numbers. So he said, so the part can be equal to the whole, right? That's Cantor's theory. Cantor ended up in a straitjacket, literally in an insane asylum. He went mad. Why? Because he contemplated infinity. The Prophet said, La tafakkuru fillah. You know, do not think about God, but think about the gifts of God. Because if you start thinking about God, the word in Arabic, ilah, is from walaha, which is to bewilder or confuse. Right? You can't think about God. All you can think about is the attributes of God and the gifts of God. But to actually contemplate the essence of God is haram. You know, it's just you can't do it because you will go mad. I mean, look, scientists, they have belief too. They never talk about it. Their belief is in the order of the universe because all their science is based on the assumption that the universe is orderly, that these laws will actually work. I mean, Einstein, his laws, E equals MC squared, is based on the idea that you can measure energy, you can measure mass, and you can measure the constant, right? But what Einstein said is the only thing that he finds unintelligible about the universe is its intelligibility. That's somebody who, we know why it's intelligible, because God made it to correspond with our minds. And that's why a believer's knowledge, irrespective of what faith you're in, and I'm not a perennialist, but irrespective of what faith you're in, you are advantaged over a materialistic scientist. Because all he can determine is how. We know why. And that's a great gift. Because why is at the essence, its purpose. Like, why are we here? Where did we come from? Where are we going? What's going to happen when we die? And one of the most amazing things about prophets is, unlike philosophers, every single philosopher that comes disagrees with his teacher. Every single one. Like Aristotle said about Plato, I love Plato. Plato's a friend, but the truth is a greater friend. So I have to disagree about these archetypes, right? You look at every single one of them. They disagree with their teachers, with rare exception. I'm talking about the great philosophers. All the prophets say the same thing. Every single one of them. How did they do that? Why do they all say there's a day of judgment? Every Jewish prophet that came, none of them decided, oh, you know what? I disagree with Isaiah. None of them. And the Prophet ﷺ confirmed the previous revelations. Jesus said there's a day of judgment. He said you're going to be raised up. You're going to be resurrected. Moses said you're going to be resurrected. All of them said the same thing. The day of judgment is coming. So that's an amazing thing. So, I think Muslims, we have to recognize what a gift we have. And then the other thing that we have, you know, and again, people need solace. And religion is the essence of worldly solace. If you don't have religion, you're going to have to find something to opiate the pain of being in the dunya. And I just spoke to a lady today who's losing her 13-year-old child. You know, this is dunya. This is a very difficult place to be in. And you will, Allah says, وَلَا نَبْلُوَنَّكُمْ بِشَيْءٍ من الخوف والجوع ونقص من الأموال والأنفس والثمرات وبشر الصابرين. We will test you with something of fear and hunger and loss of life and property. So give glad tidings to patient ones. Imam Zamakhshari in Al-Kashaf says, be shaitan, because whatever tribulation you have, it could be greater. You lost one child, you could have lost all your children. You lost one arm, you could have lost both arms. It could always be greater. But then he says, but Allah is warning you. We will test you. And so he's giving us a heads up that you might, everything might be fine today, but you can wake up tomorrow with a diagnosis. And your iman has to be as strong, if not stronger, in that situation than it is today. But for people to say, you know, people say, Dylan has a wonderful line. He said, you say you lost your faith. You know it's not like that. You had no faith to lose, and you know it. What is faith if you can lose it? And that's why this place is difficult. And religion is the necessary fentanyl to get you through the pain of this abode. But our Prophet told us, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that the person who had the most difficult life, the believer that had the most suffering in the world, will go into, there's a river, which is called the river of life in the afterlife. And you go into it and you come out of it completely renewed. And that man will be asked, have you ever known suffering? And he will say, La wallahi, I never knew suffering. This is the one that for 60, 70, 80 years is now looking at infinity and in perfect bliss. And people say, you know, the afterlife's a hype. Well, good luck. People have been saying that for a long time. You know, we make a choice in this dunya to believe or disbelieve. فَمَنْ شَافَ الْيُؤْمِنُ وَمَنْ شَافَ الْيَكْفُرُ. Whoever wants to believe, let him believe. Whoever wants to disbelieve, let him disbelieve. You have a choice, but just know the choice is going to have consequences.